was a fine example of mid-Victorian austere architecture, with its grey stone walls and imposing bulk, and it could have been a prison or textile factory in the far north of England, rather than a fashionable school for young ladies. It was a fine summer afternoon in late June, and the huge stone house lay basking in the sunshine. Beds of roses glowed white, red, and pink, with their scent filling the air. Sir Andrew Dexter tightened his reins sharply and murmured soothingly as his mount flinched at a squirrel running across the path. Urging the horse forward again, he pushed back the lock of dark hair that insisted on falling ungraciously over his forehead. Sir Andrew's piercing grey eyes then searched the woods, lawns and gardens on the other side of the high fence that surrounded the school, looking out for anything or anyone out of place. At present, the beautiful grounds were empty. But Sir Andrew knew that very soon a bell would ring, and the young ladies would all come flooding out of the doors, eager to sit in the sun, smell the flowers, and enjoy a welcome break from their lessons. Sir Andrew was not interested in the flowers or the sunshine. He was desperate to see one particular young lady, who was a pupil at the school, and to make sure that she was safe and secure. He frowned as his horse pushed on through some bushes, and he realized that he was now on a narrow track leading to a small lake. The blue water glittered and gleamed in the sun, and ducks, geese, and moorhens were swimming round between the rushes. A sudden plop sounded the presence of a water vole, and a bright flash of brilliant blue marked a kingfisher's flight. Turning his mount round, Sir Andrew headed in the opposite direction, finally reaching a high gate in the wall surrounding the grounds. To his dismay, it was standing wide open. He leant down from the saddle and closed the gate, pushing the bolt across with his crop. But he knew that his action was a mere formality, as anyone could unlock the gate and walk down to the lake. And just as easily, someone could reach over from the woodside and ease the bolt open to let himself into the garden. Irritated, he sighed and urged his mount on along the path that circled around through the trees towards the front of the school building. He needed to speak to the young lady who was so much in his thoughts, and quickly. In the large drawing room of the Five Oaks School, Lady Beatrice Remington sat, her hands clasped firmly on the ivory handle of her ebony walking stick. Dressed all in dark grey silk from her large hat to her grey suede shoes, her lined face stern and unsmiling, she was listening impatiently to the girl standing in front of her. "Stay at school? Forever? Great Aunt Beatrice, you cannot possibly mean that." Rosilda Harvey pushed her hands deeper into the pockets of the paint-stained tussle apron she wore over her dark pink day dress. She had been attending art class, trying to finish her study of two apples and an orange. When she had been summoned to the drawing room to greet the only relation she had in the world. Rosilda was just 18 and exceedingly pretty. Her long blonde hair was tied back with a dark pink ribbon from her lovely face, but her usual sparkling blue eyes now looked bewildered and concerned. "Well, forever is a very big word, child," said Lady Remington, "but your days as a pupil here at this school are over. There was enough money in the bank when your dear parents died to pay for your education, but that money has now gone." She paused for a moment before carrying on with her little speech. "You are now all of 18, and by the terms of your father's will, I am no longer your guardian. But I still have a responsibility to think about, and indeed worry, about your future. I thought I would travel north, to the Lake District, to live with you next week when the term ends," Rosilda said, almost unable to take in the fact that all her plans lay in ruins. "I have so many new ideas to help you in the house and garden." Lady Remington shook her head. "I have now sold the Windermere house, and intend to move to Italy, to live with my good friend the Countessa Elizabeth Scarfini." Rosilda was about to blurt out that she would love to live in Italy too, but one look at the old lady's stern face told her that expressing such sentiments would be...